Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans and welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Mike Vrabel with his press conference yesterday in the aftermath of John Robinson's firing by the Tennessee Titans. No Amy Adams struck yesterday. It was Mike Vrabel that had to face the music with the media yesterday. And he talked about a great many different things. We'll get into most of those here in the next 10 to 12 minutes. But Joe, here was what Mike Vrabel had to say in his opening statement yesterday in the aftermath of the firing of John Robinson.
Personally thanking John Robinson and his family for their care and effort and support that they've shown the team and our fans for the past 7 years. I want to thank him for giving me the opportunity to lead this football team on the field, to coach it each and every day. And with that, obviously, change is never easy, but we realize that we all have a job to do. That job is evaluated each and every day. I told the team this. I met with all the staff, and that, you know, we have a personal relationship with John, everybody here in some capacity. So our personal feelings aren't what's important. What's important is that we respect and understand the decision and that we, you know, move forward aligned and do everything that we can to prepare our players and be great for them as we go out against the Jaguars at home with a division team.
So that was Vrabel yesterday at the press conference. And Joe, he did mention later that, you know, he had a conversation with John Robinson on Tuesday night, a lengthy conversation that he appreciated very much, was the way that Vrabel put it. What did you make of kind of that statement and the, I guess, the direction that he was talking about with the personal feelings not being what's important, but the message moving forward after the firing of John Robinson?
I guess it was a lot of what he said was about what I expect. You know, Vrabel made sure to talk later about how, you know, he and Robinson had a phone conversation the night before and they had a great relationship and all that stuff. I mean, he knows what really happened impulse, they probably then immediately it's the waves of power struggle that Vrabel won, right? So it was clear that, you know, that was on his mind as he talked yesterday. I think that some of the non-answers he gave were probably more significant. The non-answer on just the whole idea of him being either in charge of personnel or having more power personnel, all these things.
Yep.
That says a lot. And even him being surprised by the move, he just completely did not answer that question. You know, so that kind of counteracts the great relationship stuff. Not saying I know otherwise, but it's pretty obvious that Mike Vrabel has been frustrated with personnel. And so I thought overall he I give him credit for answering all the questions. I give him credit for not trying to do this. Guys, I'm focused on the Jaguars, and yeah, I want some Jaguars questions. You know, he didn't do that, so. And you know,
nice just use of Jaguars, by the way.
I mean, he hit that one hard. I was like, I don't think that I've heard Jaguars said that excessively more than he did yesterday. But he answered a lot of questions that should have been asked to and answered by Amy Adams Strong, and it's unfortunate that she decided not to do that. Every NFL team and fan base isn't the same. That is for sure. They share revenue, but there are big, big differences in different, you know, fan bases, history of fan bases, you know, age of fan bases, market size, all these things. I feel like Amy Adams Strunk in this place with this new stadium coming in and all that's going on should be more inclined to speak to her fans when huge shocking moves happen than probably a lot of other owners in the NFL.
But huge shocking moves that she is directly responsible for. And Vrabel was asked about that yesterday a couple of different times by Paul Kuharsky as to where is AB Adams Strunk and why is she not here answering questions. Here's what Vrabel had to say about that.
Where's Amy, Mike, and why in the heels is such a massive move? Would she not come to talk about it?
Well, I think, let me just say that, we all have tremendous support from Amy, from Kenneth, from Barkley. The infrastructure that they've put in place here with the facilities and the people, I'm confident that, we have their full support, and to do our job and to move forward. Amy made a decision and made a statement. So all I can say is thanks for her support as we come to work each and every day.
I thought that was an impressive job by Vrabel of basically saying nothing that sheds a bad light on his boss and thanking her for her support. Basically just totally not answering the question.
Yeah. Hey, shouldn't Amy be there? I'd just like to thank Amy for being the billionaire who pays my massive salary. Thank you. Yes, I mean, that, if there was ever a time where you had, like, if, I don't even know if this exists. Are there such things as, like, dart guns with truth serum in them,
like, I don't think that exists.
Yeah, but if there was, hit him right in the thigh, and then it's like, my God, Amy, please get out here and save me. Why am I answering these questions?
Yeah.
But, no, he did a very impressive job of basically saying, yes, I absolutely will not say anything negative about Amy Adams Strong, but thank you for asking.
Well, and to his defense, like, I don't expect him to say anything really other than that in that situation, which, again, is the point. He shouldn't have to be put in that position. It should be Amy Adams Strunk up there.
Yeah. And look, just for clarification, I mean, I asked about it. I think probably just about anybody who covers this team somewhat regularly probably asked about it. I know that Teresa Walker, through the Pro Football Writers Association, formally requested her. So, I mean, this isn't just like everybody then whining about it afterward. I mean, I actually was surprised. I was very surprised because, look, Amy Adams Strunk, again, the entirety of her tenure as controlling owner, been very successful and been very impressive. And that includes when they drafted Jeffrey Simmons. She came out to that press conference, and the owners around the draft usually, but of course, there was video of him as a high school student, hitting a woman in that altercation. And that was a big story, of course, when he went to Mississippi State, and then it was a big part of the draft conversation. I mean, that's just naturally going to be part of it. The character conversation and Amy Adams Strunk press conference the day after they picked Jeffrey Simmons. And she talked about the entire process of, speaking to him, vetting him, and all these things. And I mean, that was good. That's what you want, whether you agree with it or not at the time, and I think Jeffrey Simmons, has obviously proved to be, a great player and citizen and all that. But at the time, there was a lot of questions about that. I think she handled it really well. That's what you want. And in this situation, I actually was a bit stunned to get back, she's not going to talk. I was surprised because she normally has been wanting to do it. She goes to fans tailgates. She, she bounces around and she'll just like chat with media people and fans, which is different than a lot of owners.
Yeah.
This was definitely, to me, a mistake.
So we're 2 days in the aftermath of John Robinson being fired. Mike Vrabel spoke yesterday. Some of the players spoke yesterday. Amy Adams Strunk did not. I'm curious for Titans fans, how do you feel? How do you feel about the direction? How do you feel about the move? And what do you make of where the Titans head from here? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls, open up our phone line. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, John Robinson has been fired. Mike Vrabel's press conference from yesterday is complete, and we have not heard, other than the statement released by the team, from Amy Adams Strunk. So what do you think about all this? What do you think of the direction that the Titans are headed? Hit us up, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Nate, who wants to weigh in. Nate, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. Amy, right now, for this specific instance, and that part of my statement is important, makes me think of the Nashville Predators ownership group. Now, we know that Amy took over as controlling owner not just to keep the Titans here like the controlling owner of the Preds. He just wanted to keep them here. He didn't want anything to do with talking to the press or the public about anything. I understand Amy is in the public. We have a face to a name. But in this instance, she is like the Preds. We have questions about David Poile, about why he basically is untouchable. We don't hear anything from him or from the ownership group with the Preds. They hide behind a statement. They hide behind Sean Henry. And that's almost the same thing with the Titans, except they hide behind a statement and they're hiding behind the head coach. And I don't think that's good.
Thanks for the call, Nate. Joe, what do you think of that?
Yeah, well, of course, Herb Fritz then, you know, basically he finally did talk as they were talking about the transition, you know, to Bill Haslam, and basically confirmed like David Poile's untouchable. But yeah, I mean, over time, there was obviously a lot of frustration there. Like, no one will talk about what's going on. You know, the interesting thing is there, Nate mentioned you hide behind Sean Henry. Well, at least that's like a high, you know, that's like a top of the organization person who, you know, has spoken at times about that stuff.
Correct.
Whereas in this situation, you're talking about the head coach. Like, imagine if it was like, you know, like we're supposed to be asking John Hines about stuff like this, you know, like, yeah. What? Why would he answer? Now, it is different, of course. Again, this is not an apples to apples thing because Vrabel may be a personnel guy, but like Burke Nyhill, I guess in theory could have also spoken yesterday. That's kind of a separate part of the business. And obviously he's completely focused on the stadium situation. So it was Amy. I mean, Amy is the one, you know, who I believe should have spoken. I do real quick, Robbie, on the text line, I wanted to get to a couple things if I could.
Yep.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to get to, I think a fair point. A lot of people brought this up and I'm not dismissing it at all. Okay. But, the idea of, you know, the idea that like the Jeffrey Simmons comments to Dan Pompey and the Athletic could have been also an issue. I would assume that Amy Adams Strunk read those first time and probably was a little ticked off, and that, you know, that could, we're wondering what Adam Schefter's talking about, right? With the, you know, not involved, unhappy she wasn't involved in more discussions. It was not about AJ Brown. She knew about AJ Brown, but maybe there's an example where it's like, wait, why would you, I mean, like, why would you say essentially like, we can't pay you now and all this stuff. Why would you say that to him? And now he's saying this, like, I didn't know anything about that. That's possible. I think this is more about like things that have clearly not worked out, because I just don't think they're, has been concerned that they're not going to get Simmons signed. I will say this. Remember last summer when all this was going on and I was like, sign him now. It's going to be cheaper. And I think you could look at that too and say, maybe that's a little bit of a misstep. But the other one I wanted to get to is Grant. and this is another Jared thing that it should have been part of the rant. So I'm sorry, this is a sub rant. Here's Grant on the text line. Speaking of Sunday's game, is it possible Vrabel put single coverage on AJ on purpose once he knew we wouldn't come back? and then I just said, now you're going to make me do it, Grant. And then he said, haha, I'm just saying Vrabel's petty enough. Yeah, Vrabel's petty. But this is exactly where Jared is doing a fine job. He's got his little yarn ball and the car's on the road and everything's fine. And then you just go, and you just go off the cliff. Now, you think Mike Vrabel is going to go in a football game and be like, you know what? I want to be personally humiliated, and I want my players who I every day pour my energy into, inspiring and motivating and loving and having good relationships and getting the most out of them. I want all of us to be humiliated by undercutting ourselves on the football field. Let's do that. Can we stop with this crap? All right, go ahead. Sorry, I just had to have that little aside.
I'm glad that we did. Mitchell on the text line says, my only issue is, what kind of message are you sending to the future leadership and the team by firing them midseason? That a previous Titans player or star player has more power than the GM, I assume referring to A.J. Brown. From a leadership perspective, it's a crappy decision. This from Mitchell on the text line.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of messages being sent that I think are not good. I will say, in stuff like this, you know, well, it's like a future leader. I will say, I think the message that you worry about for the future GM or GM candidates is, if they're concerned about just not even, like, just Vrabel gets to just trump them anytime, I think your pool of top candidates might be a little thinner. That would be my concern. As far as this, an owner doing something that people are like, what the hell? There's enough money involved in the NFL that usually people find their way to take these jobs anyway. Yeah, yeah. You know,
Matt from Camden on the text line says, I hate the move with five games left in the season. If it was strictly due to performance, you let him at least finish out the season. He deserved that since he was the one who brought the Titans out of the cellar. I also hate the idea of Vrabel being in charge of the personnel. Hopefully they have a game plan, but right now I don't feel like they know what they're going to do. That is the one part of this, Joe, that is really interesting to me, and I don't know if it's as simple as Vrabel's going to be the guy in charge of personnel, or if they have someone clearly identified that they want to pursue. But if you make this move when they made this move, you better have a clear plan of exactly who you're going after, whether that be just Vrabel being elevated and it's basically a GM and name only that you go find, or if there's a general manager candidate out there that you really like that's something that you need to have planned out before you make this move. And I'm not saying that the Titans don't. Maybe they do. I hope they do. But if you don't, and then that's a really bad move.
And again, that is really the bottom line of why you have to answer questions after this, right? To me, to be accountable to your customers. Because that is way bigger than why did you fire John Robinson? I mean, it's basically, when it comes down to it, like, it's over. I mean, those questions are there too, of course.
Sure.
But it's really more about what's the plan? How are you going to improve on that? You know, Matt, you said in the text, he deserved that since he was the one who brought the Titans out of the cellar. I will say this. I don't think in situations like this, deserve or punish should matter. Okay. It's just about, can this person do the job? Do I trust that this person do the job? Is there someone else who can do the job better? Which, again, we'll take that to Mike Vrabel and Todd Downing too after this season.
Sure.
That's it. It's not worked so hard, earned it, did so many good things in the past. No, it's just, do you believe that this is the right person? Now, this is where I think Amy Adams Strunk made a mistake, is based on all the information we have, I think John Robinson had a great chance to navigate this to the, you know, to the next round. I mean, the NFL is built to be cyclical, and it is very hard to avoid the cycles of the NFL completely. There are some franchises that have been somewhat recession proof, like the Steelers, but even now, you know, look, they're like, they'll be thrilled if they go 9-8, you know, they're going to have a losing record. I mean, you have cycles in the NFL. The question really is only, is John Robinson, was he the guy who could figure this out? The information tells me yes. I know a lot of fans disagree. We all agree that he made a lot of mistakes, but that's the only thing you don't worry about, because to me, that, you know, he deserved it or whatever. Now, finishing out the season though, and that's really what you're talking about, Matt. Well, I agree with that. I mean, I don't see the benefit of this.
James on the text line says, regardless of the actual reasons, the firing will always be tied to AJ based on timing. They had to know that. It will only be a good move if it results in the right hire and moves the team towards a Super Bowl, which is a tall order. This is coming from James on the text line. I agree 1,000% with that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it will be tied. And it's accurate to tie it to that. However you want to look at it, is it just they were flipping you off and you finally had enough? That's not good. Is it you were upset because you were promised this was going to work out, and finally at this point you know it won't? Okay. Is it you just have to resolve to move on from him, and you know right now you have the most fan support because they're all pissed about the AJ thing too? It could be some combination of all those things.
Ron on the text line says, do you think this move will light a fire under the team, or do you think it will have no effect on the players? Here are kind of my thoughts on that, Joe. I don't think it's necessarily going to have a negative effect on the players. I would probably lean more towards the no effect. I mean, at this point, the roster is what it is. It's not like they, you know, remove the quarterback or anything. It's the GM. But you did bring up an interesting point earlier. For a team that's not had a lot of distractions over the course of the past 4 or 5 years, other than, you know, COVID that everybody had to deal with, all of a sudden, the last 2-3 weeks, there's a couple of different distractions that have been thrown out there. And by the way, they haven't won a game since then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is a test in that way. It's interesting you brought up COVID because, of course, in the height of – and by the way, John Robinson was under fire then of, you know, the Titans not doing the correct things at their facility and all that. They got somebody saying they should be, like, I don't know, like sent to the CFL or whatever. Yeah. In the midst of all that, and, you know, Kaharski got, you know, pictures of them working out when they shouldn't have, all these things. They did come out and just destroy the Buffalo Bills. Now, the thing is, if they come out and destroy the Jaguars Sunday, it'll just be like, oh, yeah, well, they played the Jaguars. But, no, I am interested to see. I ultimately don't think this is going to have some huge impact, but distractions are legitimate concerns.
We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans and the direction of the team coming up next. A lot more to get to on our text line. Our phone lines are open as well, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the direction of the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Gordon from Nashville on the text line says, I think John Robinson has a great track record as the GM of the franchise. Only focusing on the first round misses is narrow-minded. He rolled the dice and lost a few times, but he found other ways to bring first-round talent to Nashville, which is all that matters. The AJ deal was different. I gave him the benefit of the doubt when I saw the trade alert, but then he didn't do anything with the money to help the team. He's a great GM that just made an unreconcilable bad call, so he's got to go. This is from Gordon on the text line.
So, see, that's what I was just saying, like, he's got to go. I mean, if you make these moves as punishment or don't make them as reward for past performance, then you're doing it wrong, right? You make these moves because you don't believe he can do the job well. You make these moves because you think someone else can do the job better than him. To your point, Robbie, you make these moves because you have a plan.
Yeah. At least
don't know what that is.
Yeah, don't know what that is. But
looking forward to finding out.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I would hope that you've got a pretty nailed down plan at that point. Doug in Franklin on the text line says, when the Titans ownership evaluates the roster of this year's team and how it sets up for the next 2 years, it would seem that they simply lost confidence in the GM. How do you both look at the personnel setup? This is from Doug on the text line. Joe, you can take that one first, and then I'll give my thoughts.
Well, shoot, I was trying to find it while you said it. Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, just basically.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, them losing confidence in the GM because of the personnel on the roster. How do we view the personnel set up for the next couple of years?
Yeah, look, and that's the thing. If that's what it is, Doug, you know, then, I mean, that to me is, look, I mean, talk about John Robinson's mistakes all the time. It's not like this is, like, look, like Buck writes, you know, for A to Z Sports, like, clearly the right decision. I was like, really? But, hey, we can all have opinions on it. It's not like, and that's why, like, trying to find this smoking gun or whatever, I mean, let's be clear here. He has made a lot of mistakes. They are a worse team. The A.J. Brown trade was disastrous. There's plenty of, like, bad things that have gone on in his job performance that makes this so it's not like completely coming out of Pluto. And it, but it ultimately, it comes down to that question. If you don't believe that if you just believe that this means that his job performance is just nosediving. And honestly, if the 2022 draft class was also looking rough right now, then it'd be a lot easier to sell that. It'd be a lot easier to say it. I think the 2022 draft class is going to end up giving you a long-term starting right tackle, a long-term pretty good tight end, a long-term number one receiver. We'll see. I mean, yeah, we'll see with Burks, but yeah. It could. He could be pretty good. What am I missing?
Corner, McCreary.
A long-term pretty good starting corner. It looks like all of a sudden in their first normal draft year since 2019, when they had arguably the greatest draft in the franchise's history, that they kind of have a clue again. That's my biggest pause here is like, are you sure everything he's done, you don't think he can figure this out? But I think that I would sure hope that this is more a comment on her saying, no, I just don't think he is. Even if she's wrong, that's at least a reasonable argument to make, as opposed to I'm mad at him, or even like Vrabel's mad and I don't want Vrabel to be mad and leave, so I'm going to fire the other guy.
Now, having said that, as far as like the roster for 2 years, I mean, right now, left tackle's a mess. Are you going to bring Taylor Lewan back? I don't know, but you got to figure out left tackle. Ryan Tannehill's not getting any younger. Derrick Henry's not getting any younger. I mean, we talked about this week before John Robinson was fired, like the crossroads comment that Vrabel had for the season and taking that big picture. Like, I think the roster is at a little bit of a crossroads right now where, you know, you're built to win right now. Some of the moves that you made in this past draft, including the A.J. Brown trade, would go in opposition of that. And meanwhile, some of your key players and your core players are getting older and about to be more expensive. Like Jeffrey Simmons is about to be more expensive, and you're going to have to shuffle some things around as that continues to weed itself out. So honestly, to answer the question, I don't feel great about the roster in the next 2 years being a contender in the AFC. I think it's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah, no, and thank you, Robbie, for actually answering his question. No, it's you laid it out there well. I mean, there's a lot of reason, and that's the thing too, is like, you know, the timing here is is bad. I think most people would agree it's weird. And again, I think that John Robinson is good. We're gonna find out more about that as we move forward. But could I see this team being like 5-12 in 2 years? And then, like, it's obvious they're firing John Robinson. Yeah. See, the thing is, I actually thought he could possibly survive that. You know, that's what we've been talking about, right? Like, for all that he's done, taking 5-27 to what he did to, again, last year, the number one seed in the AFC, which was 2 years after getting to the AFC title game. I actually thought that the trust from Amy, which was expressed in a 5-year extension last year, would carry him through that down period. Well, I was way off. Okay. That was way off, but I think that down period is absolutely potentially coming. The cycles of the NFL. I mean, who is their quarterback? I think we can see right now, Derrick Henry, it's not a ton more time, right?
Right.
I mean, I think he could be, he's still an effective player. There's a lot of things that aren't his fault right now, but it's not like you're counting on the next 3-4 years you're gonna have 1500 yards every year from him, right?
Sure.
Gonna fix your offensive line. Yeah you got the second deal coming up for Simmons. There is actually a salary cap. It does actually exist. It will be a factor. There's a lot of reason to wonder. Now then you worry about, and then we talk about the Preds comparison. Are you going to be, you know, because Vrabel's a good coach and they do have some good players, are they going to be okay, not bad enough to get a high pick and get the next quarterback, but not very good?
It's a great question. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kevin from Nashville. Kevin, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So I was listening, I heard that comment from the texter, and that's the thing I wanted to call in about is like, I think he said that, if, you know, the A.J. Brown decision is irreconcilable, or like whatever word he used. And since he made that decision, he's got to go. Like, it's because he has a great track record, and he made, if he made that bad decision right there, then you want somebody in-house that's learned from that for 2023, 2024, 2025. Running a business, you don't eliminate people that make bad decisions when they have a track record of great decisions. And if Amy did do that, then that's bad business on her. I would question her leadership, but she's actually been a great, I feel like she has a good track record herself. So I'm sniffing out, I think this is just a pattern of behavior inside, in-house from John Robinson that she just was done and fed up with. And she was just like, I'm done with this. And I think it was sudden, unless something salacious comes out later, but nothing has, and I don't know if it will.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. I mean, you know, look, the A.J. Brown trade, and we talked about it literally from the day after it happened, Joe. It happened on the Thursday night of the draft, the next show Friday morning. Not a whole lot about Treylon Burks and their actual draft pick. It was a lot about A.J. Brown that next morning. And you talked about it then. It could end up being the biggest mistake of John Robinson's career. I think unquestionably it was the biggest mistake of John Robinson's career. You know, was that the sole reason? See, look, I've talked about this all week. I don't think the timing is a coincidence. The Tuesday after the A.J. Brown game, that's not a coincidence to me. I also, Joe, don't believe that it's the sole reason that he's been fired. I think it was the cherry on top, the straw that broke the camel's back, however, whatever phrase you want to use.
Yeah, I would even say, because that's definitely straw that broke the camel's back, which, again, where did that come from? Like, what did a straw actually break a camel's back? Like, in sometime in like 30 BC? I don't know. Great question. We need to figure that out. But, you know, I think it might be more of that. I mean, I think it's like the number one reason. And the thing is, again, I don't agree with, like, you should be punished for that from an ownership perspective. But this is where you also have to then now factor Vrabel in. Vrabel did not like it. Vrabel hated it. Vrabel didn't want it. He told Rich Eisen, not as long as I'm coach. And go watch the video again in light of all this. Yeah. I mean, I've seen people say, yeah, you know, you're overreacting to the video. Come on, man. He was kicked in the stomach. And then he had to sit there and pretend he liked it. He had to yesterday again say, oh, yeah, sure. He hated it. And he should have hated it because it was a terrible move. It was a crushing mistake. The question is, does that brutal mistake by Robinson mean that you lose confidence in him and you just don't think he can do his job anymore? I did not think it would be all that. I did not think it would lead to that, but apparently it did.
Coming next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight on the road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 1025, 1063, The Game. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click have all of a sudden become very interesting. The listeners in first place with 6 correct answers. Joe Rexroad, with the assistance of Adam Vingan last Friday, vaulting into sole possession of second place with 5 correct answers. Michelle Konezovic and Robbie Stanley, myself, tied with 4 apiece. I'm on a 2-game heater in Preds Pick to Click, so it's looking good out there. We'll see how this goes. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Thomas from Murfreesboro, today's participant. Thomas, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, guys. I'm going to go with Forsberg, I think.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Thomas, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Philip Forsberg, the selection from Thomas. Michelle Konezovic, you were up first today in the competition. Forsberg off the board. Michelle, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
I'm going to go with Joe's pick, Nino Niederreiter.
Oh, Nino Niederreiter, the selection from Michelle Konezovic. So Forsberg and Niederreiter off the board. Joe, you're not up next. You're in last place today. I am up next, and I will go with Matt Duchene, who I believe is playing very well right now, and I think that's going to translate into some goals coming up. He got the empty netter, which Adam Vingan predicted last time, to give Joe Rexroad some more points. I'll say that Duchene stays hot tonight, and he scores. Forsberg, Niederreiter, Duchene off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click.
So Vingan got to go first last time.
That is correct.
I mean, I think that shouldn't count, though.
Do not complain. He got you a point, Joe.
Yeah.
But I don't get to experience pick. That's one less time I get to experience picking first. Not fair, man.
You'll be all right.
Thanks, Vingan. Boy. This is tough. I'll go Josi.
Josi. The selection by Joe Rexroad. So the selections and Preds pick to click: Philip Forsberg, Nino Niederreiter, Matt Duchene, and Roman Josi. Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Prick to click.
Wait, I want to change.
What do you mean you want to change?
Can I change?
I'll allow it.
No.
All right. Darn. I'm gonna steal Michelle's normal one. I'll go with Johansson. Sorry,
Ryan Johansson. So you could pretty much put in the bank a goal for Roman Josi tonight as the Predators exactly. take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Preds pick to click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. It's gonna be nice to see them actually play hockey again tonight. It's been almost a week since the Predators have played. Back at it tonight against the Lightning. Obviously, Joe, and you know this, Tampa Bay a very good team. They've seen them once already this year. They hung in there with them okay for a little bit in the game earlier this season at Bridgestone, and then Tampa kind of took over towards the back half of that game. Stamkos won it in overtime. This is going to be a big challenge for the Predators tonight on the road, but the results have been very good for the Predators as of late. Other than the regulation loss to the Red Wings a couple of Wednesdays ago, they've gotten points in every game except that one. Since the five-game homestand, you go on the road, you lose – to the Red Wings, you win against Anaheim back at home, and then two big wins in New Jersey and in New York last week. So the results going well for the Predators so far.
Yeah, it's just going to be really interesting to see what all the downtime means. I mean, I guess it may not mean anything. It may just be you're playing a hockey game against a really good team, and one team's going to win and one team isn't. But it's an interesting situation. Even this break alone, take away the flooding break, but this break is weird in the schedule. So fresher team, I would imagine, but also when you get some things going well, like the power play, and then you have to not play a game for a long time, that's probably not ideal.
We got a texture on the text line that says Colton Sissons, write it down for pick to click. So that is duly noted on the text line, Colton Sissons, who has been a little bit more offensive as of late. Speaking of that, Matt Duchene, let's think about his week last week. He makes the play in overtime against Anaheim to get the puck to Josi to score the game winner on that one. He also had the primary assist on the other goal in that game by Colton Sissons against Anaheim. He makes the play of the game against New Jersey, going 1-on-3 in overtime, getting the puck, digging it out, and getting it over to Johansson for the game winner. And then two assists against the Islanders and an empty net goal as well. Matt Duchene's playing really well right now, and you know, it's still not going in for him as far as goal scoring with the regularity that we saw a year ago. But if he plays like he did last week, they're going to like his results more often than not.
Yeah, much needed. And I guess I never thought he was playing like poorly or anything, but maybe just not quite as much getting to the center of the ice, a little bit too much going wide, and losing the puck and trying to be a little too cute at times, things like that. More direct, but direct attacking, which is what he did all last season and went to great success. Much needed, obviously. Matt Duchene is going to be like, I think probably quite a few guys in this roster who the numbers at the end are not going to, they're not going to match up to last year's numbers, but he's still a very good player and he's going to have a huge hand in this team making the playoffs if that's what they're going to do.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, do you guys think the Preds should make any roster moves or trades? I've seen Fabbro might get moved. Your thoughts? And there was speculation a few weeks ago that maybe the Predators could be willing to trade a defenseman and Dante Fabbro could fit that mold. We'll wait and see what happens on that point. But what do you make of the roster? Do they have room for moves? Do you think they should make a move? What do you think of thus far what we've seen from the Predators, Joe?
Well, I've thought with Fabro and Tolvanen going into the year that they could both be candidates. I mean, you always have to consider the other side. You know, are there other teams out there who look at either of them and think, okay, that's a talented player. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked out, but here with us, it can work out. I mean, I still think that there's some value attached to both of those guys and possibly some interest from other teams. So those would be the two names I would bring up. I mean, but I also don't know that anyone out there actually would have interest. I mean, they've both logged quite enough time in this league. I think right now to say certainly they've been disappointments relative to what they were supposed to be, right?
Yes.
On draft night or even in their early stages. So it would require someone out there actually thinking that about them. I mean, the Preds took on Cody Glass, believing, you know, there's something there, and it was still very early for him. And I think maybe they could still have something decent with him. How do they feel about, you know, Fabro and Tolvanen
and
their futures?
It's amazing. Like, you know, we keep having the conversations about Glass and Tolvanen, and right now, neither one of those guys can find their way in the lineup. Like, Tolvanen's a healthy scratch right now. I mean, I that could change tonight. I think some of it's been matchup based, but based on the lineup that they've tossed out there and some of the moves that they've made, like, I don't think Tolvanen's really in any danger of getting back in the lineup anytime soon.
Not in the plan. If you're another team out there, how do you view that? I mean, again, there's like, he has a hell of a shot, right? Like there's something there, but what would be the return on a toll?
Well, and let me say, the return is going to be basically nothing. Like, you're not getting anything of value back for him right now.
Tolvanen, Fabro, and a pick for what?
I don't know.
I'm just excited that we're talking about the NHL trading deadline in December.
Yes, me too. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, lots of attention on some off-the-field moves for the Titans this week. What about the players? Where do the players go from here with a game coming up on Sunday against Jacksonville? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.